Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.
Voicemail. Us seeing you. Us seeing you. What to do. Guys.
All right.
Welcome to the Talking Yanks voicemail, brought to you by you guys, of course, because without this, there is no episode. BBD and I will be running this, and we will be talking to you guys, the people, talking about whatever you guys desire. And to be able to do that, just dial in. 908-845-5792. 908-845-5792.
If you've called the voicemail line before for talking, it's the same line. It's all the same places. 908-845-5792. Before we dive in, just what this show is.
Yes.
Pre-game show doesn't exist anymore.
I've seen
some people asking. It's been said other places, but not explicitly on the Talking Yanks channel. Pre-game show doesn't exist anymore. This replaces it every week. Most of the time probably is going to be like this time Wednesday afternoons that we record it and release it more or less ASAP. On weeks that it's like a Wednesday afternoon series finale, it gets a little weird. So I think this is coming out Thursday, tomorrow, as we're recording this now. But the usual routine, I think, is going to be we record Wednesdays and release it ASAP. Hope you guys like it.
Yes. Is basically a show that's ran by you guys. You guys determine where it goes. So, get loose. Give us the juice. BBD, as of right now, at this point in time, the New York Yankees have only lost one game in the season.
5-1.
5-1. They've looked great. Juan Soto's been awesome. Better than what I even thought, and the expectations were high.
Yeah, I have many Juan Soto thoughts. I think our first voicemail is on that young man. So
let's hop right into the voicemails. I'm in a singing mood.
You're very singy today.
I'm a Jingle Joes.
What's up, guys? I know we all know that Soto's great and like a generational player, but I don't think people are giving enough attention to how good the season could be. Like, we have a 25-year-old Soto in a contract year batting in front of Judge in the Bronx with the crowd, Yankee Stadium short porch. Like, it's a perfect storm for Soto. I don't even think we could be looking at a career year for him. I think we could be looking at an all-time MLB season. Woo! Obviously, we all know he's great, but I don't think people are really thinking about the situation he's in and how great this season could be. Thanks, guys.
Like, what a banger of a voicemail. Turn me up! That guy is such a showman, okay? He is such a showman. He's ready for the Bronx. He's going to get in the Bronx. He's just going to absorb it. When people, you know how, Biebs, how some people is like, oh, I don't know if they're going to handle New York, whether they do or not. This guy can't handle it. This guy was 19 in the World Series, hitting homers off of Justin Verlander. You don't think he can handle New York?
Can handle New York. I was never worried about the New York thing. I have many a Juan Soto thought. I was not nervous. But one of the thoughts that was going through my head as him becoming a Yankee was becoming very realistic and possible was that, like, I don't know, is his brand of baseball going to be like fun to watch? I was like, I know he'll be good. He draws a lot of walks. He will hit a lot. But like, is he going to be that specifically exciting? Like, I know the way he takes some pitches, he'll make some moments, some gifts, and we'd have fun and pick up on stuff. But like. Like, every at-bat's an event. He's electric every way. Both sides of the ball. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about his defense and how much that's impressed us.
Yes.
I think this year, you know, especially when it looks like the default lineup is going to be him ahead of Judge, he's going to get presumably more strikes, especially as Judge gets hot himself. He hasn't even really done much yet. Like, the idea of Soto having, like, his career high in homers this year, that feels like a smart pick.
Sure.
He's like going to go off. He already is.
Just the crazy thing is that he doesn't even need to do that, Biebs. Like, just him being who he is in the lineup and just his energy in each at-bat. Listen, man, when we're there, when you're in that moment, I didn't know. And yes, I've seen Juan Soto before, guys. Come on. I didn't know each at-bat was Game 7 of the World Series two outs kind of intensity. And that's how he's attacking every at-bat. That's infectious in the lineup. Woo! Give me that.
It's insane. Because, like, and it was naive, I guess, but, like, how many guys on not the Yankees have I watched day in, day out time? But, like, I thought, like, well, yeah, he draws a lot of walks. It's not necessarily the most exciting thing. His teams haven't necessarily been that good besides the World Series team, which, you know, maybe that's that alone is enough for me to just shut up. But no, like he is infectious.
Person that can, if there's one person that can possibly like be infectious with the crowd, and I'm calling it right now, I don't know if it will start or not, but if Juan Soto, every time he takes a pitch, if the whole crowd ends up going, woo, or something like that, where it's like he's taking it and it just feels like they just go, woo, or something like every ball. First of all, just mind immediately. Second of all, I think only Juan Soto can make a crowd do that.
Yeah.
I'm not telling people what to do, but that would be awesome if we did. Hype at home watching it.
It's awesome. Even like Judge, who again hasn't even like done much, had much reason for like personal celebration. I feel like we're seeing a little bit more come out of him. Like Soto throws at the guy and he's hitting the arms.
He's getting energy.
He was getting silly behind Cole in the in-game interview Tuesday night.
Need more of Need more of that.
He seems to be getting a lot out of all of the guys. And young energy like that, you can't quantify.
That's awesome. Love Juan Soto. Appreciate the voicemail. Love it.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling. Who else have we got?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we didn't say it. We got Alex here. Alex Grapp. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Little stuff here, man. We got a grappler's corner over there.
I like the grappler's corner.
The grappler's corner. Let's go.
This next one's going off that youth movement with the Yankees.
Ooh, okay.
I've seen some youth.
Hey guys, this is Jaden. I'm really excited this season for this team. We've been playing out of our mind so far. I'd like to see Wells get more time over Trevino. He's just a monster, lefty bat. He's got that contact power. His defense is, you know, obviously not as good as Trevino's. Volpe, I want to see him in the lineup every day. He is going to kill it this season. And same thing with Oswaldo Cabrera. I'm looking forward to this team and the young prospects we have. And I think that's what's going to put us over the top this season. Thank you.
All right. Well,
thank you for the call.
Thank you for the call. I agree with you. And I think that, and Boone said, he actually said it on this channel to Jimmy and Jake. He said that the reason that a lot of people don't play every day is because a lot of it has to do with age. And he, you know, that's when he talked about the Atlanta Braves. He said, how old are they? You know, and that makes sense. So a lot of these guys are young. Juan Soto's going to play. Volpe's going to play. Wells, he's going to play. Now, they like Trevino's defense.
And like, Wells is a situation where it's like, I think he kind of already is playing every day as much as catchers do. Last night, as we're recording this against Gallen, is kind of the like exception, I guess, because Trevino might be his first game against a righty.
Right.
I guess the day game after night game's today. So it was saving Wells for the day game.
Yes.
Like there's just catcher stuff.
Yeah. That's they're just
like
get
day
time.
Game after night game. Catcher's the position that like needs a little rest, especially early in the year. I think it is going to be a straight up platoon situation.
Yes.
And lefty starters in. So that's the day. Trevino has a much better chance to be a threat offensively. So I think we are going out of Wells throughout the year, but he's still young and learning the big leagues a bit. So I'm not worried about the workload I've seen from him.
Yeah.
And Volpe, you know they're gonna play him every day. He had the shits, but that was the one game he missed this year. And
oh yeah,
he missed like two games last year. So he's I'm not worried about not seeing enough Volpe. I think they're happy to run him out there every day. And Oswaldo's the one that's like, all right, that'll be interesting to see how that goes down when DJ comes back, if when Oswaldo gets colder than this, because these numbers aren't sustainable for, like, Juan Soto. But,
right.
But he's the one that's interesting where I'm like, all right, how are they going to handle Oswaldo's workload whenever DJ's back or when he cools down and if Birdie starts getting going a little bit? That one could be fluid. But if he's giving consistently competitive at-bats, I want to watch as much Oswaldo Cabrera as possible. He's very fun.
Yeah, for sure. The good thing about Oswaldo is that he's made himself very usable because he can play so many different places, third base, shortstop, second base, you know, outfield. I'm sure if you give him a first baseman's mitt, he'll do it, you know. So, he's made himself very, very flexible. And that's a good thing, a good person to have on the team anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these guys are going to play. Trust me. These guys are going to play.
Oswaldo specifically, that, like, when the time comes that, like, he's not starting or not the starter, if that happens, like, even in days he's on the bench, he can defend everywhere, come in for anybody. He's a guy. There's not very many guys on that are rostered by this team that are, like, might pinch run for somebody. It's him, Volpe, Grisham, Birdie are, like, the four guys who, like, might pinch run for somebody. Volpe, I expect to play every day. So any day Oswaldo's not in there, he's a candidate for that, depending who the guy is, if that's DJ or Rizzo on the right day. I don't know. But so I think Oswaldo will find himself into games even on days he doesn't start. But so far he's forced the issue and isn't letting them not start him. A lot of double negatives there. Oswaldo Pip.
Yeah. They're going to play because the corners are north of 35.
Yes. Even those guys at their healthy.
You still want to get them off their feet, do different things. They're still north of 35. It's going to happen. The corners are north of 35. You know, I'm talking about DJ, so that's it. Thank you for the voicemail. Appreciate that. Very great thought.
Next one. This fan seems a little concerned, as good as things have been going.
Concerned? Okay. Sometimes it's good to be negative when it's positive.
Just to keep it, you know.
Let's
keep
see.
Keep perspective. Let's hear it.
Hey, boys. I was just wondering with Giancarlo, if he doesn't heat up at this point through the summer and Jason Dominguez gets healthy, what do we think should be the move there?
Wow. That's a great call because I'm going to be honest.
Mm.
Babes, the only person that I'm concerned – concern is too strong of a word, okay, guys?
I don't want
anybody here quoting me saying I'm concerned. Nobody write in the comments saying I'm concerned. I'm not concerned, which means a million comments are going to say Joe's concerned.
Joe's concerned. I would comment if I were.
I would say I am raising an eyebrow. Raising. I am raising an eyebrow. An eyebrow? What? And basically, I'm nervous at Giancarlo's inability at hitting the fastball. Now, we do know that Giancarlo can and will go on tears when he gets, once he gets hot, he just takes some time to get lathered in and then he'll get hot. And then I remember one time, I think it was 2 years ago, where he got off to a crazy streak and then people asked him, like, are you surprised about all this? He's like, you guys were the ones that were concerned about eight at bats. Like, I've been playing this game my whole life. You know, so I guess we should maybe put a little thumbtack or table that for another, maybe for, give it about 2 weeks. But his concern was that he's still struggling by the time Dominguez is ready. What are we going to do?
I'll say Dominguez, the earliest he can return is June. So if he's still struggling, that's, we've seen two full months of Stanton.
Right.
And in our group chats about such issues, it's been a lot of like, just kind of assume somebody in the outfield is going to be hurt by that. Like, that's just kind of math. And
let's
baseball.
Hope not, because two of three are, you know, like.
Yeah,
I don't root for that,
but it's just you wait for that problem to be right in front of you before worrying about it. But if Dominguez is like ready to come back and he's fully rehabbed and he's gonna come back and like play, they're gonna that's kind of gotta cut into Stanton's time. I suppose currently Alex Verdugo's numbers are bad.
Currently
they are.
It's early.
In the case of both players, I don't think their numbers will be where they are right now in 2 months, but it's an issue you really face when it comes down to it, but if Dominguez is ready and this team still feels this good, you kind of have to put him in the lineup one way or another.
Right.
And currently those at-bats would come away from Giancarlo.
They would come away from Giancarlo.
You'd get unless more Judge and Soto DH days.
This is the thing, and this is why I've always wanted Judge to be able to play some left field, because having Dominguez, and maybe that's what would happen, where Judge could be in center still, and then Dominguez plays left.
That's like his warm-up.
Right. But I like Dominguez in center.
Well, especially while he's this young.
And he's got all the speed.
There's...
so...
And like, you know, I didn't necessarily expect to go here today, but just the Judge and center stuff playing this much, he's doing a good job. He's playing over the last couple years that we've seen him play a good amount of center. It's been like a league average center field, which is amazing.
Yes,
better than you could have hoped. Between him and Mookie's transition from right field to now short to second base to shortstop, obviously originally a second baseman, all of that, originally a shortstop growing up.
Right.
Anyway. We're seeing guys moving up those two guys specifically moving like up the defense spectrum.
Right.
That we have not seen before. Like it's unprecedented for a guy to
move down.
For a guy to turn 30 and then start playing more center field.
Yeah.
Especially a guy who I don't use the injury prone label on Judge, but he has an injury history. They're like it's crazy that they're just like doing it. Like crazy and like just it blows my mind. Because he's done a really good job, and I know I get why they're doing it right now because they have the personnel where this is what makes sense. But like, logically, he should not play this much center field. It's great that he can do it.
Right. I don't want that, and I didn't see the lineup today. Is he playing center field today?
I believe he has caught a DH day. I'm going to double check.
I felt that, and that was smart. You know, right? Turf and all of that stuff.
Yesterday's game, as you people are listening to it, the lineup was Glaber at second, Soto in right, Judge DH, no Stanton, Rizzo batting fourth, Volpe 5, Verdugo 6, Oswaldo 7, highest he's bat, I believe, at third, okay. Wells and Grisham against Merrill Kelly.
Righty. Okay. Well, I guess we'll figure it out. I think. At the end of the day, and Joe Torre used to say this all the time, it'll just like sort itself out.
It'll get there. I
think it usually does always sort itself out.
It seems like if we get the healthiest version of this team and Dominguez is part of that, we'll find out if Judge will ever play left field.
Yes.
Because the healthiest lineup probably.
I don't even know if Soto has played left field, but.
Soto has just that's where he was all of last year, but
Yankee
Stadium right field.
It's not the same. That would favor him a lot better.
Yes. Although if Soto's fielding like this, it seems like it's taking a step up. Like maybe I think for this year they're comfortable. They want him just staying in right and focusing on that.
Right.
But sign him long term. Left field might be an option.
Right.
Dominguez
might be the Swiss Army knife in the outfield kind of thing. He did play left. Yeah, you're right.
So the short answer to that question is worry about it when we got to worry about it.
That's it.
Let's just hope all our players are playing well.
Let's hope it's a great problem to have. How about that? Thank you.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
Nice.
What's up, BBD and Joe's? Just wanted to say a shout out to Alex Grapp in the corner. Great producer. With that being said, here's my question.
Nice.
who do you think on the team provides more vibes, more good spirits? Gleyber Torres or Mr. Alex Verdugo in the left field over there? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. So Gleyber Doogie, who's the bigger vibes guy?
I think it's That's an interesting question. I think it might be Verdugo because Verdugo brings so much energy on like every play.
He does, and it's like probably like if we could look at like the metrics on it, it might still be Glaber, but
right.
Verdugo is new to the mix, and we do kind of feel his vibes and energy out there right now.
Yes,
like the way he's playing like a fun left field. He's
when he was in Houston and he got that fly ball that he dove, and then Judge like went to him. He's like, "Yeah, let's go!" Like this was early in the game of like game one, and he was so hyped. Like Judge was like, "Oh shit, okay, I'm getting this kind of energy." And then he got some energy from Soto on the side. It's like. He's getting, like, a lot of vibes and energy from both. And he's got a lot of swag. I'm not saying, but he got the chains out. He got all of this stuff with dogs, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, I think it's Verdugo, man. He got the glove with the Mexican color theme. Does. Like, it's Verdugo, man. It really is.
Yeah, I think he's getting bonus credit for being just like new, and this is our first time experiencing it. And
big bonus,
and that goes a long way for like assessing first week of the year.
Yes,
vibes. Or Glaber has been, you know, a key part of this team and this franchise for 6 years now. So like if we were able to take a step back or come in from outside and try to take a look, like maybe we'd notice more Glaber stuff. But
yes.
But I think right now the answer is Doogie. And that might be a little bit of like Glaber hasn't gotten hot yet. We're just too familiar with him. He got hit by that pitch and is still just like feeling that out a bit. So I'm comfortable saying between those two, it's Doogie right now.
Okay. Love that. There you go. Got your answer.
Is Doogie your number one vibes guy overall?
I think it's Soto. It's Soto by I'm not gonna say everybody else is bad. It's just he's that vibe.
Yeah, and again, a little bit of bonus, like new, and we're all looking out for it. But like,
right,
Soto is like the heartbeat of the team. Yeah. Like he's
the way
so
he plays.
In control of everything. He's making things happen. He's working these incredible at bats, and that has been contagious.
His energy. Like, it's crazy. He struck out one time, and I know that we won't, you know, usually we'll talk about the glam stuff, but he struck out one time on a, I think it was Hunter Brown made a nasty pitch. Curveball, struck him out, and he was like, okay, yeah, you know what? I concede that. You know what? You got it. Like, it just.
Pitch, I've seen it now.
It felt like a respect, and he struck him out on that. He said, okay, you got me.
Yeah, like, that Jimmy's. Was dope.
I like seeing stuff like that.
Yeah, he's awesome. Awesome. It's been, you know, like trying to, like looking, I have the Yankees like stat sheet in front of me, like their season stats going into Wednesday's game. And technically like only three guys are hot or like having like like good seasons right now.
And the pen.
Soto, Verdugo, Cabrera, for Soto, Cabrera, at Volpe. Like all these other guys are, their numbers aren't showing it, but like the at-bat quality, and it's, all these guys are two good games away from having good years again. But they're like Verdugo, like in my head, the at-bats have been good. Judge, in my head, the at-bats haven't been bad. Like his timing just looks a click off.
They're getting better.
Hurt. He's got he got 10 plate appearances the last 2.5 weeks of spring training. And he looks like it. Like, I think this time next week, we're not saying anything about Judge. Wells, you know, the at-bats have felt good and he's done some damage. I'm surprised the stats are where they're at right now because it feels so much better. Rizzo's rolled a few over. He's not in like an awful spot, but like all these guys are working good at bats, and I think that comes from Soto all spring and early this season, and especially all these young guys are watching him every day. Like it's been the story of what the Yankees are doing this year is all these young guys watch Soto hit BP every day. Like that's
I fully agree.
Amazing.
Fully agree. Love that. Thank you.
All right, awesome. Our next caller wants to give some props to the coaching staff.
Yes!
I'm listening.
How about this team? Are you giddy? Because I'm giddy.
All
How
day.
About this new offense, this new approach? What we should have been doing 4 years ago. It's been 4 years too long, even probably longer than that. You know what? I understand the love for Soto. I love Soto. I love Doogie. I love all the new acquisitions. and along the younger kids,
yes,
getting into the same approach as the old guys too. But J. Rowe, James Rowson, he needs to get his flowers. The man is a great communicator, great coach, and he seems beloved in the clubhouse. So at the end of the day, give James Rowe his flowers.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, yes. He was getting interviewed on Yes yesterday, and he was just like, you know, kind of like, yeah, you know, that's, you know, we're just trying to, like, it feels like he's soft-spoken. But the good thing about him is that the guys buy into whatever the hell he's talking about. And that's important. That's important. It really is.
It's important to believe in him. I think a lot of the guys, like, have some histories with him. Your judge worked with him in the minors a bit, all of that.
Right.
So that's big that, like, you know, Judge likes this guy.
Yes.
That's contagious. That's felt. Of course, it's a lot easier to give hitting coach credit when just you've won five of your first six and you
There's
have
still
Juan Soto. The lineup, just the construction is so much more balanced. Like, even last year we talked to some guys about, and Boone said this on Talking Yanks the week that, like, the rookies came up where he indicated, like, you know, reading between the lines of what he said, he indicated that, like, Pereira, he didn't know how that would work out statistically because, like, the lineup was so unbalanced that pitchers would be in such a rhythm by the time they get to face him. So just having this balance and being able to not have guys that give so many different looks and have different approaches, even if, you know, even if the results haven't fully been there,
right.
It helps everybody to be, you know, their own unique guy where they've had so many years where it's like maybe a bunch of righties that strike out. You can throw them all slider low and away, and that'll do it.
You
know, so,
yeah.
So it's easy, and I'm ready to give J-Row the credit, but he is dealing from a rather stacked hand here.
There's that, and then, I mean, where you could really give him credit is – you know, and you can also give Volpe credit for how he's worked, but what he did, I'm sure that it was a collaborative effort to talk about Cabrera only hitting lefty, you know, mostly hitting lefty and then righty in select spots against select people. I think you got to have that trust there because he was there with the guys, like you said, in the minors. And then you have, so Volpe is able to, like, kind of become and be who he is. And he probably has a way of communicating with these guys that they love as well. So we're going to give him credit. We're for sure going to give him credit. The same way we give Matt Blake credit. I know that pitching coaches are a little bit more, a little different, more hands-on. But
this is more like hands-on strategy stuff there, but I'm into it.
Right.
Good
stuff.
I like what I've seen, and I'm willing to credit whoever so far. Like, I like to gas up our guys, so I'm good with it.
Right. Good stuff. Good voicemail. Love that. Who else we got?
We're going back to vibes.
Going back to vibes.
Okay.
What is up, my guys? The Yanks are electric. Here's what I'm thinking about, though. All these new bullpen arms, who's won us over? I personally have a case of the Weaver fever. I love how Ferguson has that classic tired lefty look. And I mean the Birdman. That guy's stuff is electric. So who's filling the Wandy Peralta size void in our hearts? Let's go, Yanks. Love you guys and everything you do.
Is this the new guy, like new guys or just in general? Because I'm like
the bullpen vibes guy.
I'm like all, like, I don't know why, but I'm like all in on Hamilton.
I'm a Hamilton truster, truther. I like him. If we're talking just vibes, and the guy brought the vibes, so this might be like rude because he just looks a lot like him. But I do think Victor Gonzalez.
Oh,
will,
Victor Gonzalez! Yes,
be
good
into
job.
That like big
good
time
job.
Bullpen vibes.
Victor Gonzalez. He was jumping up on the mound trying to get calls. I like Victor Gonzalez. Right.
I like that. I think as he gets more comfortable with this team and sees more, because I think he. Like I don't think I'm making up that he did a lot of that with the Dodgers over the last couple of years. Like he got some outs in the playoffs that were big. Like he's got, I think he has a flair for some moments. I know the stats don't necessarily back that up, but I think we're gonna really enjoy him.
Can we imagine him and Canely hanging out?
Yes. I can imagine it.
Yes, I would. I mean, yes, Victor. I remember when he was coming out of yesterday's game, and by yesterday, I mean the second game in the Diamondbacks game. He was coming out of that game, and Booney just asked him, hey, man, you think you could give me one more? He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Man. He looked hyped up that he was getting asked. And then, you know, circumstances. But he was still out there. He has that compete that Boone talks about.
Helped reset the rest of the pen. Yeah. We've now seen him do back-to-backs. We've seen him up-down. We've seen him in a save spot. He has a save. There's a chance he becomes, especially if there's, like, one Matt Blake adjustment similar to what they did with Wandy. Like, he right. might be that guy. Just vibes wise and fun and Swiss Army knife and so I have had my eyes glued to him for a bit. Just Ian Hamilton, Nick Birdie.
Just the name is fun
too. They're on the mound. I love their vibes.
Yes.
I don't know how much
they speak.
Yeah.
So
Birdie I don't know at all.
I don't
so
know
maybe
if
he
they
does,
speak.
But
they don't talk.
All I've got on Nick Birdie, 31 years old, is that he just, like, looks very young in his face.
Right.
I've noticed it for the first time when he got in this season. I was like, oh, that's his face? Cool. I know his stuff's nasty. I know his injury history. I knew how old he is. So he looks very young.
So but, you only but he, know but he looks what stoic. Wikipedia tells you.
Basically.
And that's how he likes it?
That's how he likes it. Do we have a young or old bullpen?
That's a good question because I feel like it was young, but... If you start to think about down the line, I feel like they're like low key like.
Because Canely's almost 35.
Right.
Lou Trevino on the IL is 32 and a half.
Okay.
Efros is over 30, but those three are all hurt. Clay is 31.
Right.
Birdie, I think, is the oldest at 31, but they don't have anybody young
Gonzalez.
In there. Victor Gonzalez is 20. He's so much like Wandy, dude. He's so much younger than he looks.
Oh, my God.
I might really like him.
Luke Weaver?
Weaver's 30. Jake Cousins is 29. Might not have to account for him much longer.
Jake Cousins is
29. He's optionable. A lot of pitches yesterday. Loaizaga is 29.
Huh?
So currently no kids. Ian Hamilton's almost 29. Currently no kids, but currently no
is
like
Ian Hamilton the kid. He looks like the dad.
Currently no olds in the pen, right? And yeah, and right now, Caleb Ferguson is the youngest at 27.
Okay, I guess
Caleb Ferguson is 27. Victor Gonzalez and Ian Hamilton are 28. Those are the three youngest in the.
We have nobody under 27 in the pen,
but nobody over 31.
So, like, it's like a sweet spot of, like, all of their prime.
And Clay and Nick Birdie, I think, are both, like, turned 31 in spring. So it's just got a bunch of guys in their physical prime getting juiced up.
That's good. That's actually, like, low-key good. You don't get rattled easy.
Like, all of them are, like, the healthiest ages you can be. All of them are, like, physically the best position to succeed age-wise. Probably all got so much in common. They watched the same shows growing up, maybe.
Well, a lot of them look the same, too. They're all like
a lot same. Of them do look the same.
They're all like cutting the same.
None of them have like a cool number or anything.
No.
So,
they're just
I don't know how exactly we got there, but just there's a narrow age range on this bullpen.
It's the vibes. That's the vibe. The vibe is just normal.
Yeah.
Normal,
these guys have normal vibes.
Focus.
It's
normal
awesome.
People vibes, yes.
I might steal that Weaver Fever line and just
Weaver
start using that
Fever.
All the time.
I do believe if we're open to a Luke Weaver discussion real quick.
Yeah.
I do think the Yankees feel like they found something.
With Luke Weaver?
Yeah, like they upped that cutter last year.
Okay.
They like went out and like gave him a guaranteed MLB deal for like a real amount of money, $2 million.
You feel like Matt Blake was the one like pounding the table, like we need him back.
No, who knows about that specific? But I do think on the whole, the organization feels like they found something, they unlocked something because he was good in the three games of his we saw last year, and so far so good this year.
I want to see Matt Blake pounding the table saying, bring him back.
And we talked to him once. Like he actually might be a pound the table kind of guy.
That's what I'm saying, right?
I had never like thought about his temperament before. The mm-hmm. only time he and I have crossed paths, we didn't say a lot of words.
Sink or slider.
But then he's like hilarious and like opinionated.
Yes.
So I love Matt.
I love that. Love that.
Anyway.
Let's go.
Yeah, I think we'll do one more here. Just seems like a very general overarching thoughts on the Yankees right now.
Nice. Okay,
I like that.
Shout to you guys.
I'd say it's a great start. I can't lie. They're manufacturing runs.
Yes, they
I'm
are.
Excited. Don't know when the injuries are going to kick, but the start's great. Manufacturing runs. I think Soto acquisitions really paying out because I think his plate approach is wearing off on everybody else. Another contact hitter, Verdugo. Sack flies are coming in. We're manufacturing runs, creating havoc on the base path. Pitching's been good. Someone's got to step up a call out, but it's been a great start, so I'm pumped.
It's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. I mean, the Yankees, I believe, have scored runs every way that you can. They've scored on a sack fly, on a single, I believe on a double, a homer. They've scored on a hit by pitch. So if you're talking about manufacturing runs, they've been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen too much of the running game so far, but I don't think we've like needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And Volpe's been on base. I feel like where he's at really makes like because the lineup felt really short the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And Volpe, Oswaldo, and like what people are doing in the bottom of the lineup really like elongates the lineup and like gives you like a lot more. So those at-bats and creating traffic on the bases, opening day, we were worried in here with the double plays.
Yeah.
What we were ignoring for a while was how much traffic we had on the base, which is important too.
You know, that comes with the territory of having guys that get on like this. I've been so encouraged in that Houston series, winning those four games. The ways they did, they won all four of those in different ways.
Yes.
They battled back in the opener. They took advantage of sloppy defense. They rallied late and came back. They had a lead, lost it.
Used the homer.
Got it back. They hit homers. They did some smart base running. Like what hasn't been getting, I think, enough credit in that Houston series. Labor Steele, which is getting a lot of love, but he was also running on the Soto hit.
Yes.
Like, he got an amazing jump. He scored easily on that.
Right.
Like, Labor.
No throw.
Not. I would not call him slow.
Short left
field. But he's not, like, nobody can call him
fast. We know this.
Like he's a little slower than you'd think looking at
him. I'm always surprised looking at
Labor. You always think he's going to be a little further.
Yes.
But he likes to run.
Yes.
He got a good jump. He scored easily. Like they find ways to do it.
Yes.
Even until the like bone end of Tuesday's game,
we forgot about that. How about that bunt where he tried to, like, I wasn't expecting
the Wells
that.
Bunt was crazy.
I got so hyped with that.
Awesome.
He bunted, that became an error.
Guys are doing stuff. We're getting taking advantage of our luck. It's been so refreshing.
I think you up the luck meter when you put the ball in play. So the Yankees have been putting the ball in play. You allow BABIP to become a factor. You can't allow BABIP to become a factor if you're just striking out all the time. It's hard. I mean, you could get your pass ball every now and then, and sure, you could get to first, but that seldom happens.
Yeah.
So it's like, bro, get the BABIP gods involved, man.
And they're still getting their walks.
Yes,
but,
get your walks.
Yeah, roster construction wise, I think my only issue with this offense is that just not a lot of fast.
That's
and Birdie
and you could
actually does help that.
Yes, he does.
But they are prone to double play balls. But other than that. They're not going to force as many mistakes just by being fast and having guys have to rush throws a little bit. Like they just don't have a lot of burners out there. I'm hoping Volpe can be that guy if he's going to keep doing some of this and keep putting balls in play at this rate.
I mean, the speed thing kind of gets like fix if Jason Dominguez comes back.
Yeah, if Dominguez is back. And you have Birdie on the roster. Birdie is like a bonus piece and sometimes starting. That's a good point. Because if you have a lineup that has Dominguez, Volpe, I'm comfortable putting his Waldo in a fast bucket. That's three guys who are actually fast.
Right.
And Judge has always moved much better than you'd think at that size. Like he's a plus runner. Like nothing special, obviously, but he's a plus runner. So Dominguez being back, I haven't let myself think about how much that does for the team.
We can.
Like I thought about it from like that's exciting, and I'd love that, and I loved the week I got to watch him every day. The few minor league games I watched getting ready for him last year were fun. But I had not thought about like, how would the construction of the team be? And that if he's there and the other kids that are kind of quicker there, that does up the speed factor.
Yes.
That should be very exciting. And kind of quell my only like the only thing that I point to immediately and I'm like, this is a problem.
Yeah, you could do that. You could switch out Jones and then Peraza comes back if you want, and if you want to have speed on the bench. Or you can find the speed guy.
Peraza's fast. If he's back, it'll be extra.
Do that. Yeah, good stuff. Thank you, guys.
I think that's it?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Thank you guys for listening, for watching, wherever you did this. I believe we'll be posting this on the formerly pregame show podcast feed, so audio only will be there, not on like the Talkin' Yanks podcast feed, but we are on the Talkin' Yanks YouTube channel, so check us out in the other place if you watched on one and not the other. Next week you can leave a voicemail 908-845-5792. Joe's and I will be here all season.
Yes.
We're very, very excited.
Yeah. We might have people come in or not.
There can always be like a third given week.
Any point in time.
But we've got you.
We got you.
All year. This is your chance to talk to us. So subscribe if you haven't. Goes a long way.
Leave a video too.
Leave a comment. Talk about how like Joe's isn't excited or something.
Go Yanks!
Ball in Play 2, presented by DraftKings, kicks off on May 5th. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to catch Game 1. Get some skin in the game and download the DraftKings app right now. Don't forget to use our promo code WAREHOUSE. That's promo code WAREHOUSE only at DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours.